I hope that that really is your heart's desire, friends, and your prayer that God will continue to open our eyes, our ears to Him. Let me just say briefly, Marie said that she brought some things back from her place from last week's. And so, cake pan out here in the entryway if you were missing that from last Sunday. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, that is our heart's cry this morning. Open our eyes. Open the church's eyes to see You in a new way. Open our ears to be attentive to Your Spirit, O God, to hear You like we've never heard You before. Father, we need You. We desperately need You. Our nation needs You. Our churches, we need You. Families, marriages, our children, our teenagers, we need You, O Lord. And so open our eyes, I pray, this morning. Open our eyes to You. Just like You're opening the eyes of people in the Middle East. You're opening eyes of the Muslim people to Jesus. They're seeing visions and they're having dreams of Jesus, and they're crying out to Jesus as Lord. Father, open our eyes in Motley and Leader and Lincoln and Pillager and Staples the same way. Open our eyes, O God, to You. Help us to see what You see. Break our heart for what breaks Yours, Heavenly Father, we pray. I just pray this morning, Lord, that however we've come today, whether it's with joy on our hearts or anxiety, anxiousness, sadness, and sorrow, however we have come, I pray that Your Spirit would minister to us as we continue to worship You. Help us to hear You, to see You, to know You and want to know You more. There's a lot of names on our prayer list, Father, and there could be a lot more. We pray for them today. We pray that You would comfort and encourage and strengthen and heal in Jesus' name. But we pray for our communities, Father, people in and out of churches, our community that doesn't know Jesus as Lord. There's nothing more important than we get right with You, our Heavenly Father, through faith in Jesus, Your Son, our Savior. And so I pray today, Father, whether we are in church or never go to church, that You would open our eyes today to Jesus and we would be born again into the kingdom of God. We need You, O Lord. I need You. We need You. Glorify Your name in Your church, Heavenly Father. Glorify Your name in America, O God. Oh, may we be a praying people as we've been talking about for weeks. May we cry out to You like never before. May we be a passionate, burdened, travailing people in prayer on behalf of our nation and all the things that come to our mind. May we take it to You in prayer. Guide us now as we look again at prayer, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I have a new hearing aid that I'm trying to get used to.
Glory to God.
Yes. Yes. Now, I tell you what, when you're crinkling paper and stuff off in a distance, I can hear that. Like I never heard it before. Running water, potato chips, and crinkling paper. It's amazing how loud that can be. The doctor said, Jim, you really should have two hearing aids because you've lost hearing in the other one too. Not anything like this one, but you really should have two. I said, yeah, but on Sunday mornings I got to have my microphone on that ear. I only got about so many ears. So I got a hearing aid in my left ear. that I'm trying to get used to. I can turn it off too. When there's 9 grandkids at home, I can turn it off. So anyway, I wanted to say just one or two things about last Sunday before I start on today's message. Number one, if you did not happen to hear the second service last week, you should. Either via our webpage under sermons, or if you don't have a computer, we have some CDs. Right, brother? If you did not hear the second service last week, you should. Let me say this also about last week. Some of you expected to hear more teaching about different things. And you can still have that advantage in the CD package. I happen to have one in my office. There's a lot of teaching in there. A lot of teaching. So, let me just say, if you were upset about anything that didn't happen or did, please forgive us for that. And just listen to second service on the webpage again and be reminded of the words said in that service. There were people that were healed last Sunday. Amen? Amen. There were people that were healed. There were people that come to know Christ as Lord. There are people with eyes brought open. And so I praise God. And the second service is the only one we publicize, but that one I would encourage you, if you didn't listen to, listen to. Now, today's topic is called, If You. Now remember, a short time ago I talked about the if and then statement from 2 Chronicles 7:14. Remember that, anybody? Wasn't that long ago? Almost nobody. Wow. That's impressive. We did. We talked about the if and then statement that God said to Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14, If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and repent and turn from their wicked ways, God said, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. That's an if and then statement by God. Today I'm going to be talking about another if statement that I think you might be able to relate to. And here's why. I think that you know and I know that there are times in our prayer lives when we say, if you would have done something. Can I get a witness? Amen. You've been there. I've been there. Mary and Martha were there. John 11, that's where we're going to go to. There are times in our prayer lives when we say, God, if you would have done something about that. I know it's true because I've heard from a lot of you. And I know it's been true in my life. And so we're going to talk about that if you statement today. Because we have been there. If you would have answered. If you would have changed them. If you would have stopped that. If you would have done something. We've been there. Mary and Martha were too in John chapter 11. I think you know the story well enough. I don't think I need to go over the whole story. I want to emphasize simply two verses. If you don't know the story, let me be really brief. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, siblings, very close companions with Jesus. He had been in their house. He would be there again. Lazarus got sick. Jesus was near the end of his earthly ministry. Jesus was away. Lazarus got really sick. Martha and Mary, his sisters, sent word, go get Jesus before our brother dies. Jesus got that word. He's still a couple of days away. He lingers there a couple of days. Finally, he comes to Bethany. It's too late. He's dead. Lazarus is dead. And in verse 21, Martha knew that Jesus was coming. And the Bible says in John 11:21, "Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died." How many knows what she's talking about? You been there? "Lord, if something different would have happened, if you would have answered, if you would have came, then the outcome would have been different." Verse 32. Martha's sister Mary. "Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Do you see the heart cries of these sisters? They're saying quite simply, "We know, oh God, you're capable. We know you've done miracles. We've seen you open up the eyes of the blind. We've seen you cleanse the leper. We've seen you help the lame man to walk. We've seen you do all this stuff." They're saying, "Lord, we know you're capable. We've seen it. We know you can do anything. We know you have done things. And if you only would have intervened, our brother wouldn't be dead right now." That's what they're saying. And there have been times in our lives when our prayers haven't been any different, have they? "If you would have done something, if you would have answered, if you wouldn't have let that happen." I can't tell you how many times I have heard that anguish of spirit and heart. "If he would have done something." I suppose there is times when you and I have said too, "If you really love me," because I've heard this too, "if you really love me, that wouldn't happen." I know that's in desperation, but we have been there, just like Martha and Mary. We get disappointed. We get angry. We're suffering through something. And we cry out to God in our prayer life, "If you would have." I have heard the anguish of heart that says, "If my prayer was being heard, my spouse wouldn't have died at 40. I have heard the anguish of heart, just like Martha and Mary that day. I have heard the anguish of heart that says, "If you're really listening, oh God, then why is my spouse running headlong away from you, or my children, or my parents, or whatever else it is?" I have heard the anguish of heart that says, "If you are listening, oh God, then why is this happening?" I have heard the anguish of heart and spirit that said, "If you really did love me, then why in the world has my dad, in one case, my stepdad, in several cases, my granddad, in a couple cases, sexually abused me for years?" I have heard the anguish of hearts. You see, friends, some days we're no different than Mary and Martha, crying out, "God, where are you? Where were you when I needed you worst?" I and Sherry have sat with the sexually abused as they wept and wondered, "Where is he during that. We have, Sherry and I have personally cried out to God on behalf of lostness and on behalf of those being abused. We have personally cried out, if they're ever going to see you, God, stop this horror, only to see it happen again. I think that most of us can relate in our prayer lives. We have been to the point, if you would have done something, it wouldn't have turned out this way. Two points before I close. The first one comes from John 10:10, which you all know, I think. Jesus said, when he was talking about the sheep and the good shepherd, he said in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I, Jesus said, have come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Listen to me now, friends. The thief wants the wife of the 40-year-old cancer victim to stay mad at God for her husband having cancer and dying. The thief wants her to stay mad and cry out to God, if you would have done something. The thief wants us to wrestle in our spirit. Can he be trusted? The thief wants to steal your joy. He wants to destroy your marriage and the church and the people of other churches. He wants to tear us apart and throw up walls between denominations, so we're too busy wrangling and fighting with each other to recognize that there's a lostness around us that needs praying for. The thief came to steal, to kill, and destroy. Never forget that. The thief wants the lesbian woman whom I have spoken with on numerous occasions to doubt God ever did love her. He wants that person to stay struggling and doubt because she has been abused horribly by some man already. He wants that woman to continue to say, how can he exist? If he loved me, why is this happening? Why has that happened? And then he'll whisper to her, fall into the arms of another woman and it'll be okay. That's what the thief would have. I spoke to Kevin Campbell a while back when Kevin was here with us, and he said, Jim, I've ministered to lots of people struggling with homosexuality and lesbianism, and I have spoken to some also, and Kevin said, I have yet to meet a woman that is in the world of lesbianism that has not been abused by somebody. I've never met one, he said. They've been abused as a little girl by somebody. And that is exactly what the adversary would have. Get hurt, get beat up, and deny that God.